If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The talk show that's getting you talking. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
As we get closer and closer to the end of the week, what a great place to close out this hour with. The author of Why I Stand, NBA star Jonathan Isaac, first-round draft pick 2017, sixth overall for the Orlando Magic. When everyone was taking a knee during the BLM riots and the George Floyd death, he was killed by the cops and was now in jail. But I think two took pleas this week. Jonathan Isaac stood tall, and in fact, he wrote a book about it, which is called Why I Stand and is out this week. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Mama.
Yeah, so the Daily Wire publishing your book. First off, are you growing up in the Bronx? WABC listeners who are listening right now, WRCN, they know about you being a high school standout. But when it came to being drafted, the thing about you was your values, your ethics, and your religious beliefs. Where did that come from?
Well, it's a journey over time, and that's what I really tried to do with the book, Why I Stand, is take people through a journey of my life and how I came to faith in the first place. So I grew up in the church. My dad had us in church all the time, but it wasn't something that I really held on to. It was just kind of traditional for me. So as basketball kind of took over and I was able to get out and explore, I kind of lived the life that everybody would expect a upcoming, you know, going to be in the NBA player to live. But at the same time, I still had those kind of Christian roots in me a little bit. But it really came to fruition once I got into the NBA, and the book takes you through all of that.
So the Christianity laid your foundation, but while so many African-American players were taking a knee because they said what Kaepernick had said is inequities in our society, do you not see inequities in our society, or why did you stand?
Well, it's not that I don't see inequities in our society. It's that I didn't believe that. For me, it was that I couldn't think of a better antidote or message to the problems that we see, racism and everything that plagues the hearts of men, other than the gospel. So I didn't want to go along with anybody's narrative. I didn't want to go along with, you know, an organization or what anybody believed. For them, that was their way of, you know, finding change, which was kneeling for the national anthem and wearing a Black Lives Matter T-shirt. For me, it wasn't. For me, I looked at my life and said, you know what? I know that the love of Jesus Christ and the gospel has been what has changed me, and that's what I'm going to stand up and remind people that we all fall short of God's glory. We've all done things that are wrong, and at the end of the day, if this world is going to change, we're going to have to love, and it's going to be through Christ. And so that's what I wanted to stand up and say, and that's why I ultimately wrote the book, to give people the story behind the stand.
Understood. What does being an American mean to you?
Well, being American, I love being an American at the end of the day. I think, you know, I appreciate the fact that I live in a country where, you know, we have freedoms and rights, and you can become who you want to become. I think, you know, the American dream is something still to aspire towards. And, you know, I'm grateful to live in America.
And you're having unbelievable success through it. It's more than talent. It's got to be hard work. I know you're dealing with a series of injuries right now. Was the Orlando Magic okay with you standing during the national anthem?
They were. You know, I had conversations before. You know, before I decided to stand, I told the president of our team that this was a decision that I was going to make. I didn't want to catch anybody off guard. But yeah, you know, they were okay with it, and you know, they came out with statements. So, you know, at the end of the day, supporting the fact that I'm allowed to make my own decisions. But you know, obviously the polarization of the moment, there was a ton of backlash, and you know, a lot of people didn't agree with me. But I decided that this was the right thing for me to do, and I just stood tall and spoke my truth.
Where'd you get the backlash from?
Well, just society at the end of the day. You know, there are people who equated wearing a T-shirt and kneeling for the national anthem with the literal support of Black lives. And that's where I differed. Again, when I looked at my life and said my life has been supported by the gospel, I know countless lives that people that look like me and people who don't that have been supported by the gospel. And I was like, this is not the only way to support, you know, Black lives. And what was originally stated as a symbol, it became an order. And, you know, the first question after I decided to stand was, do you even believe that Black Lives Matter? And that in itself is the problem, is that people equated wearing this T-shirt and kneeling for the national anthem as the end-all, be-all to the support of Black lives. And it just not, it's just not.
What's your view of the organization, BLM?
Well, I mean, it's changed over time. And, you know, things have started to come out later and later about the way that they've used funds. But from the very beginning, it was just the tone of the message and almost that the organization had the ability to save the Black community. And, you know, from the earliest point, I rejected that. You know, I rejected the tone of the message, and it's just not something that was for me. I never felt comfortable, you know, declaring that Jesus was the answer in the midst of, you know, talking to people who agreed with that organization or not. But I think a lot of people did just get swept up in Black Lives Matter, which they do. But for me, it was that Black lives don't matter more to anyone than they do to God. And so that's why I decided to stand up. And, you know, salvation for anyone, Black, white, and indifferent, isn't going to come through a movement. It's not going to come through legislation. It's not going to come through a party. It's going to come through Christ.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day. Featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Jonathan Isaac, our guest, Orlando Magic star. We're not talking basketball. We're really talking about life, society, and America. So Black Lives Matter has been getting a lot of scrutiny because they've got tens of millions of dollars, and people are wondering, you know, what's happening. And a lot of the questions are coming from the Black community itself, saying, I thought this was there to help, and so many corporations have given money. And, again, I was just shocked by how inadequate Patrice, the person who runs this organization, Patrice Crowell's answers have been. Here she is describing when people ask where the money is, what she's saying.
The way that the right-wing media specifically has characterized the mistakes are truly anti-Black. They are about this idea that Black people, especially Black women, don't know how to manage money, don't know how to manage funds, don't know what to do with money. And the reality is if any organization received tens of millions of dollars in 1 to 2 months' time, everybody would be trying to figure out what you do with it.
How about just leave it in the account until you spend it? What's your reaction?
Well, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. And, you know, it sucks. And there were so many people who did get swept up into the movement because of the phrase Black Lives Matter, again, which they do. And so, you know, I feel bad. I'm not going to say that I'm completely surprised. Again, I don't feel that an organization or the hands of people is what's going to be the answer to the hearts of men in this country changing. I know that it's going to come through Christ. And ultimately, if we can choose to love the way God loves us, which is in spite of our faults, in spite of our failures, I believe that we could see real change. So it sucks. It's unfortunate. But, you know that these things are coming out, I think, is a net positive. And we can continue to move forward and work towards, you know, the society getting better and moving forward.
I mean, if you think about how much progress, I mean, there's always progress to be made. But I believe that America is the most successful multicultural country in the history of the world. And how much progress we made when you look back at even the from the 1860s to the 1960s till today. Do you see that progress?
Absolutely. And I would agree with you that America is shoulders above, you know, a lot of other places in the world. And that's, again, why I appreciate the fact that I live here. You know, one thing my pastor always says about individuals and me especially says, you know, you haven't always done everything right, but you haven't done everything wrong either. And that's the way that I view America, that, you know, the past and America hasn't done everything right, but it hasn't done everything wrong either. And the rights that it has done should be celebrated and the wrong should continue to be worked towards them becoming better. But again, I'm glad to live in America. And the message of ultimately Christ being the answer is the hearts of men changing at the end of the day. And us, even though there's been progress, deciding even now in tragedies like George Floyd, when it is something where, you know, you have this racist shooting in Buffalo at the end of the day, that there still is room to grow in loving our neighbor past their differences, past what color of the skin they are, and wrapping our arms around people who are going through, you know, tough situations and ultimately just choosing to love in spite of politics, in spite of sides, in spite of divides.
I mean, Jonathan, do you sometimes see some of this stuff and you think it's almost their intent to divide when you see some of these news reports, some of these speeches. I'm thinking to myself, are they trying to make things better? Or are they trying to make sure things aren't?
Well, I think that there's a level of that. I think that, you know, I think it comes from everywhere. I think they're, you know, at the end of the day, people have agendas. People have ultimately, you know, what they want to come about, you know, and so they can assume power or be the ones that are in charge. But I think it's important for, you know, people to stand up and share what they believe in and encourage and not be afraid to go against, you know, whatever is the mainstream movement at the time. And just, you know, a big part of my book as well is just growing in that courage and boldness to stand up for what you believe in. And I was able to do that through developing a relationship with them. So, you know, that's how I was able to stand up in a moment where it was really tough to do so.
How proud is your family of you?
Greatly. And not just my family, but, you know, so many people from around the country and, you know, people have been great. They've, you know, they've sent letters and emails and all these different things about not only the stand, but them reading Why I Stand Right Now. So many people have left great reviews and just are encouraged and want to stand up for what they believe in as well because of it. So I have my family, I have my wife, I have my church, my pastor, everybody so encouraged. And we're just moving forward with the message that ultimately Jesus Christ is the answer. Right. It's not about a side. It's about who's right and wrong. It's about us all coming together and choosing to love.
And by the way, again, you guys are torturing Knicks fans. You get the number one pick again, the Magic. What are you guys doing? You already got Shaq one time. Didn't you get Penny Hardaway the next year? And now you guys once again get number one in the lottery for the Orlando Magic. And Jonathan, lastly, about getting vaccinated, you made a stand too. I mean, much like Kyrie Irving here in New York, he's like, I'm not getting vaccinated, and they wouldn't let him play in New York, but he could play away games. What about what you did? What was went to the decision not to get vaccinated?
Well, honestly, the decision not to get vaccinated was fairly easy for me. Around the time that everything was going down, I just really just decided to take a step back and kind of view where everything was going. And early on, I could tell that, you know, just the forceful nature of the vaccine coming on. There were so many people who were adamant about pushing it and making it a moral decision that if you did it, if you got it, then you were this good person. And if you didn't, if you had any type of hesitancy, wanted to ask questions about natural immunity and, you know, the effects of the vaccine long term, you know, women and pregnant and children, all those different things, you were, you know, deemed as an evil person. And so for me, I just took a step back and said, look, I'm young. You know, they're telling us that the survival rate is 99.97. I don't have any comorbidities. I'm in the best shape of my life. I don't see the wisdom in, you know, putting something into my body that's not going to stop me from getting infected or transmitting the disease anyway. And again, I've already had it. I've already had COVID, so I had a level of natural immunity. And then to see people's, you know, religious freedom and you know, the religious and medical exemptions be denied, people lose their jobs. It was easy for me to say, you know what, I want to be a voice for those people and stand up and continue to fight. And again, that's all in Why I Stand about, you know, the journey to how we kind of weed it through, you know, the vaccine and all those different things. So.
Yeah, I 100% agree. That makes total sense. I have no problem with it. There are people on other networks who would be outraged you even made that statement. I'm sure you know that. I can listen to a whole bunch of people listening to me right now, especially in New York, where they said, told nurses, doctors, anyone who works in a hospital that was there through the worst times, you're fired. Get it or you're fired. Get a booster or you're fired. So it's been a pretty outrageous time from the George Floyd riots to the pandemic to where we are at now. Why I Stand, the name of the book. The author, Jonathan Isaac, has put it out. It's his story. Jonathan, thanks so much for the quality time.
Yeah, thanks so much, Brian. And again, I would just encourage everybody, you know, I really believe that this is something that we should support, not even just because of who I am, but what the message is. And I know this book is going to encourage people and inspire people all over the globe to stand up for what they believe in, to develop a relationship with Christ, and ultimately make the world that we're trying to create a better place.
And give my best to Pat Williams, the man who brought Orlando professional basketball. Thanks so much, Jonathan.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate you.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.